Monthly meeting for Wednesday, June 12th of the Port Townsend Port Commission to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any additions to the agenda, gentlemen?
Not for me.
Nope.
Then I move that we approve the agenda as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The consent agenda is quite lengthy. Does anyone have any questions on the individual items of the consent agenda?
No.
Amy, that you're going to be the investment officer. We had two named investment officers last.
Right, Kathy was.
Right.
But since she's resigning, no.
So if you're disabled for some reason, we don't.
The investment officer, it's really a matter of just making, transferring the investments with the county. So that's, I mean, she's one is sufficient.
Yeah, she's electronically connected. Okay, well, I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Any comments from the public? Then we're on to old business. Commercial Basin Change Order Number 2.
Jim?
As we said, we opened the bids on the commercial basin. We didn't know what was going to happen when we actually opened them up and got down into the docks. So Tyke and I and Orion have had quite a few meetings on coming up with a way to move this project forward. As you can see, if you've been down the commercial docks, they're doing a heck of a job down there. They've actually raised a lot of the docks just by putting new whalers on. But two things came up. One is the banding option. And basically, we're putting plastic tubs under the concrete. And in CD dock, when we did those, we just placed them under there and let the weight of the dock hold them in place. And what we found in bigger boats, what happens is the prop wash will wash one away. And then it costs us $300 or $400 to get a diver to go down and replace it again. What Tyke is recommending, and Orion is in favor of, is banding those with stainless steel bands. So they'll be, you put the tub in, then they'll put a stainless steel band around it and fasten it between the whaler and the rub board, so it'll look nice. So now's the time to do it if we're going to do it. So that's one thing that came up with. The other thing is once we took all the decking off around the piles, when those docks were built, they never had any rub rails on them at all. It was just wood against the pile, wood against wood. What we're recommending is put UMHW rub strips around the docks. So this change order represents those two things. It's $33,560. Which still puts this under our $400,000 projected cost. That would bring the contract up to $312,000 worth of running.
So I didn't understand what that electrical blockout was. Did that get missed somehow in the initial thing?
No.
I mean, that didn't change when they took them apart, did it?
We had an option, and Larry Ozzie was down there. One of the problems that's happening is our electrical pedestals, the wire, which is quite big, all they did is they drilled a 1-inch hole through a 3-inch whaler. So now our 3-inch whaler is only an inch on each side of that hole. And it was a weak point, and we've actually had some breaking where the wire goes through the whaler. What they decided to do, again, Tyke and Orion worked together on doing a bump out, which is another piece of whaler on the outside that the pedestal would sit on. So the hole going through is not a structural hole, but more of a hole just to.
It's going through the bump out?
I see. Mm-hmm. And a piece of half inch wide by a three thousandths of an inch thick strapping is going to keep the things in place from the big old prop washes. Would be big enough to push one of those things out of there?
We had tried, well, remember there's a weight of the concrete dock on top
right.
of it. So it's really just to position it so it doesn't move.
That seems like an awfully wimpy little strap to hold something like that on.
Engineers say it'll work, so. I actually wanted to use plastic, but the engineers didn't want to do that. A nylon strap, but the engineers didn't think that would hold over time. Like a tie wrap or something. I'd love to tell you this is the last change order. I can't. We're actually going into the worst part of the dock, the other side. So hopefully we're not going to find anything. Tyke doesn't think we're going to find anything. He's looked everywhere, but...
Never know until.
You never know until you do.
Well, I'll make a motion that we authorize this change order.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Project updates.
Well, you just kind of heard the commercial basin, the admin building, and see for yourself, the first couple of flatbeds got delivered, and it's being consumed rapidly, going vertical. They will be getting some more deliveries. All the sheeting on the outside metal parts will be coming probably in about another week, did you say? And it's going to go real quick.
Yeah, it didn't take long to get to where it is right now.
Yeah.
A day?
Yeah, well, day and a half.
Yeah, that's really fast.
So, but it goes up pretty quick. So everything's on track. We're meeting after this meeting, aren't we, with Richard and Mark Grant, just to do another check. So we weren't able to meet yesterday. We've been meeting every Tuesday morning, but Jim was out yesterday, and I was somewhere else too, so.
I have a question regarding the staging area, and that is that we're going to have the building pieces delivered there until the building gets up. Crab opening is going before the July. It's going to be, so is that staging area still going to be in use by then?
It's going to be very small. There will be the siding only, and the siding is going to take up about 3 parking places. So as you noticed, it got smaller today. Mm-hmm. As they keep putting steel up, they're going to keep bringing the fence in and in.
Okay, good.
But I can't tell you by July 1 it's all going to go away. But it's just siding, we're hoping.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, we've had to actually block the road because of the big forklift has to actually pick up those big beams, you know, so it's kind of a dangerous thing if anybody are driving near it or anything, but we won't need that as much with the siding.
Yeah, well, having a fisherman on the council, I have some ideas as to when it's going to be a lot of people there, and even though crabbing opens July 1, it's only for one day this year. So the predictions are that we're not going to have a huge thing, but on the after 2 days after it, on the 3rd and 4th, then it's going to be wall-to-wall people. And so in lieu of that, I mean, obviously we need the staging area, but I think that what we need to, my point is that I think we might need to address some additional parking for the opening of crab season, and that now would be the time to start carving out a place to put overflow boats. And I'm thinking that, you know, we would talk in the past about going into the ship boatyard or something like that, or someplace.
We also talked about using the parking lot around the EDC building. And
right.
And I noticed that some of that parking is being used for storage.
By
fishermen.
Well, and we've offered that. It's always been offered to commercial fishermen to use that.
There's
been boat trailers back there.
Is that who's using it?
Well, that, and every now and then New Day will... park a truck or something back there for a day or two, and we try to stay on top of them not to, because we've offered that to the boat ramp guys, especially the ones that just are looking to put their trailer for a couple of days and then use their truck to go around the community or something. So.
And then we still have the back 40 at Sea Marine available for the special deals when guys want to leave their trailers back there, right?
Yeah.
Are they aware of that, Steve?
Yeah, but I think that there's no boat ramp down there. So for the crabbing opening, people are going to be going in and putting their pots out and then coming back out. So
right.
In other words, going clear from there would be a really difficult
thing. Well, we've offered too, so they don't have to use the ramp back and forth for a very small fee, stay in the marina, in the water. So when you need to go back out in the afternoon, you don't have to use the boat ramp.
So I think I have an idea that we're going to have a bunch of congestion. In fact, I'm sure we're. In fact, we just had a presentation last night by Rich Childers, who said that the crab this year are bigger and more plentiful than he's ever seen them. And so word, I mean, that was at the fishing club, so word's going to get out. And I can tell you that we're going to have a huge influx on the 3rd and 4th. And so we're going to really need to start thinking right now about places to put them, and perhaps even people to direct them, their signs or something.
It's midweek into the 3rd and 4th.
It's, let's see, they open crabbing.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, it's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, it's closed Wednesday. It's closed Tuesday and Wednesday. It's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So those are the days that we're going to find it's going to be just, we're actually going to need to find a place to put boat trailers in.
Well, we've allowed them to park all the way down to the maintenance office.
Right, what I'm thinking is that we want to not just have them wander around and find an empty spot, because they'll go over and park.
And we tell them where to go.
Yeah, so we'll need someone to tell them.
To park.
Yeah, to tell them where to park.
So we'll get with the staff, and you know, a lot of it depends on the yard. You know, so many folks in the yard right now. Although I expect we'll be down a little bit by July 4th. Mm-hmm. A lot of these commercial guys will be going back in over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, but we'll give it to Doug and see what other areas can be made available. We even have a little map drawn out saying, you know.
Also, in addition to that map, maybe a real good explanation of the $5 leave your boat in a spot thing, you know, put it in that. I think
we got to watch that, because you have to have a pass to do that.
Right.
So if we have anybody to just do a daily.
Right. Yeah, just put in there that you need a pass. But I think that there's a couple of benefits. It would be eliminating congestion on the ramp. It would be a little bit of extra revenue from the boat ramp users. And it would also make it a lot easier. They find it as a real benefit. So I think that would be a really useful thing to include a description of that along with the parking directions.
Okay. Moving on, the 2014, or just in general, the Seattle Boat Show. I was approached by the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association with their wishes for being in the Seattle Boat Show, and they gave me 3 points to discuss. The first point was that the port pays for the space. The second was that if there was joint advertising, what would be expected of the Port Townsend Marines Trades Association? And the third was they wanted to make sure that the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association members could sell their goods and services from the booth.
That's the big issue, and some of that might be a legal issue. And I'm told this before I got here, they did this before and ran into some issues with the different marine trades. And who was in the booth, you know, suddenly everybody else's business cards got removed, and only that one business was there. And that one person that was alleged no longer is in the business, so that may have just been that one time, and I was getting that third hand. But I don't know if they're not going to participate financially in paying for the booth, is there any legal issue with us covering all the costs, but they're using it for their own private
business? That's an interesting question, Larry. I think we're going to be okay, because it is promotion. It is sort of port promotion, community promotion sort of activity, and so I think we'd be okay with that. I mean, I think what you're asking is would it be a gift of public funds?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And as it comes up a lot, it's going to be where there are exceptions. I think when you have some sort of promotional activity, I think you got to be okay.
We probably need to double the size of the booth.
Well, we're crammed in there with just our stuff.
Like two spots or something.
It's going to be twice as much, too.
Right.
And why did they think that we should put the whole bill? I would think that if they were allowed to come in at a reduced rate, because there's a bunch of them, that would be an opportunity for people to exhibit at the boat show, where they would be financially excluded from doing it without our participation.
Well, I don't think that that's a condition. That's a wish or a point of discussion. That's what they're looking for, is input back from the commission, just like that.
And I think the point you brought up, Leif, this morning, I'll get with Peter Schrappen.
Yes, if you could do that.
Because they might look askance at, they may look at it from, well, if they're using this to promote their own private business, why don't they have their own booth?
Well, if you could please do that, that's very important, because that kind of is a hinge point for the entire issue. What I was mentioning this morning, just for your guys' edification, is that I think that the Northwest Marine Trade Association has some distinct rules regarding that type of behavior, because if you want to imagine us as a port having individual vendors in there that, number one, are not members of the Northwest Marine Trade Association, and number two, if they let one exhibitor do that, how would they possibly retain any control over hundreds of vendors that would immediately point to our situation and say we want to be able to do the same thing? And I look in the their bylaws and in their boat show promotions on the internet, and I couldn't find anything. So yeah, if you could call Peter Trapp, and you'd probably get an answer. And then if he does say it's we have policies that prevent us from doing that, perhaps you could ask him where we could reference those policies. Because I have a meeting with the Marine Trade Association early next month, and I'd like to have an answer for
it. I might even see Peter tomorrow, because I'll be over in Seattle at the Washington Boating Alliance.
That would be a good opportunity.
Could Portales Marine Trades Association be a member and have
the association, I think, umbrella? Could rent a booth and have their members.
Because if we had our booth and they had their booth right next to it.
So is the Marine Trades Association a member?
I
don't think they.
I don't think so.
I've advocated that they should be, because there's just so much good information comes out of the.
But could their membership, would that provide for the members of the Marine Trades Association?
I could ask that question. I think it would, but.
Well, that is a question we need to ask the Northwest Marine Trades Association before we proceed any further with this. So that's basically what I wanted to get out on the table and in process at this meeting. Any further comments? Then moving on to new business. We're on to the airport fuel contract.
Well, Tommy came in the other day, and even though he loves the fuel business and has made millions of dollars at it, he decided to move on to other activities. Have a chance here to assign that, and to Scott, and they're both here. If you have any questions, staff would recommend approval of assigning the fuel contract. And Scott, how much? Another 5-year option?
Another two 5-year
options. That's really pretty straightforward.
I don't have any questions.
Dave?
Well, I'd just like to hear from the Heritage Crossing. What do you think?
Well, I sold the aircraft repair business to Scott. Spent about a year and a half ago. And he's been a real asset to the airport. I would say he does probably 90% of all the repair that's taking place on the airport today. He's been very diligent in his work. Everybody likes him. He's been a real asset to the airport. I feel, and I think a lot of the pilots feel the same way. He does have a good business. And this is an opportunity for me to kind of retire, and Scott really would like to have the fuel concession, which really does add to the aircraft maintenance part of it, make a complete package on it.
So, Scott, he's not twisting your arm to take this?
No, he's not.
A little bit.
Now you like the idea?
Well, it's a big jump. It's a lot of numbers. So, you know, you got that many numbers.
Yeah, right? You got to keep up with the numbers.
Hard to figure out what the profit is.
Or our bean counter will come up and sort of whack the snow.
Yeah. We just ordered another load today, so it seems to be staying pretty busy.
Good.
Especially on the weekends, you know, the goose keeps the pilots happy with pie and coffee, so hopefully we'll keep it going.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I move that we approve the lease.
Yeah,
the assignment.
Yeah, the assignment.
The lease assignment.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank
He's
you, guys.
He's officially retired.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, I'll be back. This will always be a rather. We like it before. And we had an opportunity to buy a little cabin in the West Hill, filmed here a couple of years ago. And we bought it and we enjoyed going out there and vacationing.
Well, thanks for the service, Donnie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're welcome. I really, really enjoyed it. Pam even says it's sad to think that we're going to be turning loose of everything, but I just keep on reminding our dear, we have no more responsibility now. We can kind of do what we've been wanting to do all our life.
See how far that gets you.
Well, Tom's been a really great tenant, and you know, is one of the few tenants we don't have to, you know, keep after all the time. So,
as a customer that uses Scott, he's awesome. So, thanks, Pete.
He's got a good, solid name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Erickson's a good name. On the same boat, probably, right? Yeah.
The Valhalla or whatever it was.
So is there an option for a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot you had your hand raised.
Yeah. On the one before, taking back a step, it would as part of the ports booth, at least having some sort of comprehensive list of the port tenants who offer services, be a way to get people's name out there without actually having 35 more people.
We have that. We have a printed kind of accordion thing of all the marine trades and what they do with all their contact information.
Yeah, and then on the website, we got them two ways listed, by service and by the name of their business. So, yeah, we have a nice brochure that's something we've done always.
Okay. On this thing, so does the fuel facility there, does it belong to the port or the...
We own the tanks, the pumps, et cetera, and lease it under this contract. So it'll be operated. We collect a flowage fee.
Okay.
Very similar to what's here in the arena.
So that there's a heads up that the FAA is launched headlong into this unleaded fuel scheme, and they have some pretty short timelines for that. My experience in the past with transitioning from leaded to unleaded fuels is that it's easier to replace, or less expensive to replace, than try to clean the lead out of all the systems.
Oh.
So that might be something the port should take kind of a view towards, accruing money towards the possible need to replace that facility.
Yeah, and we've been looking at it, because the other thing that keeps coming up every now and then is the availability of jet fuel.
Yeah.
And not that we have any jets based out there, but we do get visited by, you know, like citations and things like that.
And the military
And the military comes in and out.
I did get a call from McCord Air Force Base last week, and they do plan on having some type of activity up here this summer, and they asked if it would be possible to get aviation fuel.
Yeah. It would have to do it.
Jet fuel.
Yeah, it would have to be by a tank truck and have the tanker stay there to pump.
I don't think you could even get a C-5 into.
Not a C-5, but yeah.
Well, you can get it in one time. But if you want to arrange that as a fuel operator and have a tanker come up.
Yeah, that would be an option. You'd get like Wright Brothers in Port Angeles, they have the jet fuel truck.
Uh-huh.
Because if a helicopter lands out there on the grass, you can drive out and drive them off.
Yeah, I get calls from the military quite often wondering if there's jet fuel out there yet. And if the FAA wants to turn fuel into unleaded, what's it called? Is it 100 unleaded?
100 jet air. Well,
jet air? Yeah.
There's a bunch of proposed different methods for getting there. The problems are that you have to make a stable unleaded fuel that doesn't evaporate at altitude. And you know, the way they make unleaded automotive fuels is they put a bunch of additives in to take the lead out, but all those additives are very volatile.
And if you fly them at, you know, 10,000 feet, they all gas off, and then the engine doesn't run so hot. So there's a lot of things that they're working on, but the EPA has been really on their neck about lead in aviation fuel. So
if you have to replace the facility, does that mean new tanks, new lines, new gas pumps?
New tanks, new lines, new pumps, anything that lead fuel has run through, because lead bonds itself to the...
Yeah, I don't know if that would be cheaper than trying to get the lead out of the current system. What we'll have to do, they don't allow the underground tanks anymore. So if we did it, it would be an above ground, a whole new tank farm, if you will, in the system. And I'm not sure if we could get any grant money out of FAA for that. We might be able to get a little bit.
I kind of would be a little surprised if there wasn't some sort of grant money to come down when it actually, you know, when the rubber hits the road and they actually mandate that all this happened. But, you know, you never know.
At some point, we're going to have to do it anyway, because the current system is going to, you know, fail on us one day. And
yeah, it's just something that's on the horizon and that's coming up.
So is that changing out the pumps and stuff a new thing? Because I had a gas station right here in town, and I had to change from unleaded to leaded, or from leaded to unleaded. The transition changed over from, they came and pumped out my unleaded into my leaded and put unleaded in it, and off it went. I mean, same pump, same hoses, same everything.
You know, I don't know for sure, but I have a friend who works at Chevron, and he says that part of the problem with aviation fuels being leaded is that they can't use any of the pipelines. They have to actually go and if they're going to pump leaded fuel and then pump unleaded behind it, they can't just, you know, flush it. They have to go in and actually do a process on it that leaches the lead out, you know, because it bonds itself to the walls of the pipes. And so it's a nightmare for them.
We haven't heard anything yet from the FAA mm-hmm. about it, so.
It was an non-event at my gas station. I mean, it just, like I said, it was as easy as taking it out, one thing, putting it in another, and running a little bit through it, and that was it. Now, maybe
it would be that easy.
Maybe if they have something, if they have, they couldn't use the same lines for both grades. I'm sure they couldn't do that.
This fuel tank has had this photonic protection layer installed in a few years ago, so it really doesn't have fuel on the metal. We're talking about fuel lines, and that's probably going to be over like 15 feet of fuel line at the most.
Yeah, because the tank's right there. Yeah.
So
it might not be that.
Keep our eye open for it.
Moving on then, the sail loft paint project.
As we continue with our rehab of Point Hudson, last year you said to go ahead and plan on the sail loft as the next one for painting, and we went out for bid. At the point we wrote this, we didn't have the bids in yet, we just got those in. Jim?
Sure.
Sue?
Larry Crockett received a bid from Alpha and Omega out of Port Orchard for 28,000 plus, I don't know the exact number, for the paint job, and then the second out of two bids that came in was from Aldergrove Construction out of Port Angeles. His bid was 58,000 plus. So there was a $30,000 difference between the two bids.
And that's just for the exterior, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a big building, though, and you've got, you know, some special requirements. You have the tower, so we have somebody experienced with getting up to those heights.
Well, 300 window panes need to be reglazed. Glazing is all gone. So.
And that includes the glazing?
No.
Is Carol on board with this, and what is their
time? Well, she's known we're doing it all along. The time frame is doing it in August.
Uh-huh.
Have it done before the Wooden Boat Festival.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that look
sick. So that's the goal.
You know, now that we've got the bids, and Larry Ozzie checked with the low bidder, and he's confident that he can do the job for that price.
He checked references,
yeah.
Which is a real painting company.
And when you say reglazing, you're talking about redoing the putty? Yeah, you're talking about putting new windows.
No, windows, just glazing around the windows. But once we get approval for a contract, then we'll sit down and get the exact dates and notify all the tenants. Because obviously, and we'll put up some of the no parking signs, it won't be parked around the building when they're spray painting, because you might get a little white on your car.
Watch your beeping toms in the window.
Beeping toms in the windows. So anyway, our recommendation would be to allow us to go forward with the low bidder in this case and get a contract.
Yeah, I move to that effect.
I second that effect.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Boatyard's records request.
This is that meeting I referred to this morning. It's here. NMTA called for a Boatyard committee meeting up in Anacortes last Wednesday. And there was probably about 30 people there in attendance, and then they had other people like Joe Hahn from WPPA on the phone, and a couple other boatyards. Port Edmonds was on the phone, a few others. Joe Calamar, a consultant from Landau, was also on the phone. If you remember, about 2 years ago, Puget Sound Keepers Alliance sued about a half a dozen boatyards using a law firm of Smith and Lowney over in Seattle. All those lawsuits were settled, which is the nature of their game, where the boatyard picks up the attorney fees for Smith and Lowney and then contributes some amount of money to the Puget Sound Keepers Alliance. I'll be blunt. Yeah, where I grew up, and the mafia was ensconced. At least they were honest about their business of blackmail. But this is essentially what it is. This is what this law firm does. What happened? Why the emergency meeting? Department of Ecology received a public records request on 19 boatyards. NMTA was informed by DOE about this, and those 19 boatyards have all been informed that their records are being requested by another nonprofit called the Waste Action Project. So it's a different nonprofit, but Smith and Lowney are the same law firm. And apparently this is a nonprofit that they're personally involved with. So, which made it kind of interesting.
Did you look into the Waste Action Project?
I did.
Did you see who are members of them?
That they didn't show the members, but their mission.
Well, Puget Sound Keepers Alliance is a member.
Oh, it is?
Oh, absolutely. And so is the PD Air Watchers.
All the usual suspects.
Yeah, and it's quite a list. Yeah. And they're all people that are concerned with water quality people in Puget Sound.
What we think, DOE has promised NMTA a packet of all the records that they're going to provide to the Waste Action Project people. So NMTA in a week or two will have that, and they'll know exactly what is being looked at. And they think right now it's kind of a fishing expedition. Just they look for the DMRs that every boatyard is supposed to submit, whether they're on file or not. Any inspections where something wrong was discovered by DOE, they're seeing what the follow-up was it corrected or not. And under the Federal Clean Water Act, a third party can make these lawsuits.
That's right.
And missing one DMR is grounds for a lawsuit. And again, we suspect it'll be just like last time. You know, you get a letter saying you've got a 60-day notice of intent to sue.
Exactly.
So you have to get your attorney rallied up, and you have 60 days. You're essentially guilty until proven innocent. And they allege all sorts of things with the idea that you'll sit down and negotiate a settlement of some sort.
Yeah, usually around 50 grand is what I've seen.
Yeah. And some a little bit more, some a little bit less. Those half dozen boatyards that were sued the last time, I think two of them are out of business now. It just wasn't worth it. You know, when you get 2 acres of waterfront, it's you might
right.
Sell it to a developer and go do something else. But more to come. We're not one of the 19. I think we're pretty straight. The other thing I always ask for is a copy of the SWIP. Our SWIP is up to date. Joe Calamar over at Landau has personally put that together. And he also goes down to DOE a couple of times a year to verify our records.
Right, because last time they got some people for inaccurate records, is that not
correct? Well, what happens with DOE being short of people, like you mentioned this morning, you would send it through the mail, your records, you know, your test reports and stuff, your DMR, and it would sit in somebody's box and not get filed, or it gets misfiled. So Smith and Lowney would send down their paralegals for a day and go through the actual records, and the April DMR is missing.
Right.
You know, for Bogart XYZ. And although it may have been sitting on somebody's inbox, because they just haven't filed it yet, doesn't matter. It's not been officially recorded and filed. And what they suggested, and we're doing this now, DOE is able to receive all those reports via electronic means, via email. So they suggested no more paper copies, do it all electronically, because now you've got your sent email as proof, and you know it gets automatically filed. But and we're already doing that. But it's a surprise how many Bogarts aren't. They're still doing the old paper copies.
It sounds like DOE is going to be amenable to collaboration.
Well, that was we talked about that. Peter Schrappen from NMTA said, "Yeah, it was DOE that called NMTA and said, hey, should be aware that we just got this records request."
Right.
And so I think DOE is getting tired of this because it's taking up all their time. It's costing them money to put these records together. It was, it was being short of staff, et cetera.
New director has any input into this?
I don't know. It'd be interesting next time we see her to talk to her about that.
Right.
That's another subject.
Yeah. And DOE could be sued by these people as well for not taking action under the boatyard permit. So. And they do this, it's not just boatyards that are being picked on. They do this with municipalities, so they do it with industrial stormwater permits. You know, Boeing, they've gone after Boeing. And
right.
Like that.
Sort of, yeah, housing development.
Housing development.
Yeah. Near water is what I've worked on, or small manufacturers near water.
And I don't think anybody's actually ever been taken to court.
No, they also
everybody settles.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a money-making machine. But still, it's you know, if you're a small boatyard and you get one of these 60-day notices of intent to sue, it can be pretty scary because you know the language is pretty direct, and you know you see your whole livelihood flash before your eyes. So that's really about it. Just want to make you aware of it. I'm sure we'll be hearing more as we go through the summer on this. And it'll probably be a topic at the November Boatyard Committee meeting, which is going to be held here at the Maritime Center. So that's all I have on that.
Next comes approval of warrants.
Okay, so we have an electronic debit in the amount of $6,671.12 for combined excise tax return. We have $51,161 through $51,176 in the amount of $19,638.51 for payroll. We have $51,177 through $51,186 in the amount of $102,980.53 for payroll benefits, and $51,187 through $51,254 in the amount of $115,937.69 for accounts payable. I move that we approve the warrants as read.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Staff comments.
Tim, anything?
Nope.
Amy? I don't think I have anything other than I want to make you aware on the payroll one being 19,000. The difference, the next month for the warrants that you approved for the 102,000, that one includes the ACH deposit, so that's where all of the direct deposit are.
ACH is gone.
Direct deposit.
payroll checks that are now going automatically to the bank.
Oh, I see.
So we didn't want you to approve it twice. We have to write a check to transfer, so we're transferring that approval of those payroll to where the big check is actually written. So just so you're aware of that.
It was last month, everything was pretty smooth to the flight.
Yeah, we're great. Is our expense checks going to go direct deposit?
No.
Secret money, my wife doesn't know about
it. Oh, she knows about it. She's a boggy about it.
Yep. A couple of quick things. Yesterday afternoon, I took Al down to the DNR, Lower Hadlock, last meeting, I guess, on the buoys, the no anchor zone, to protect the clam beds down there. It's a good meeting. John Collins was there too. He represented the yacht club.
Oh, down
there. Right, right.
It appears we'll be getting a certificate of appreciation. The governor's had a news release yesterday, press release, saying this was a great planning process, and all the participants will be recognized. And so Stacy from the county said, once she gets more information about that, and she'll probably be setting something up for us to attend some sort of ceremony.
Oh, okay.
The buoys aren't actually in yet. The MRC took that on. They were hoping that they would be in by now.
The informational buoys?
No, the actual marker buoys.
Mooring buoys?
Well, the buoys to keep you from mooring too close to the shore.
Right.
Right
down. And well, that's at the headlock?
Yep. So from our sensing, from our float down to Skunk Island, keep people from anchoring along the clam beds there at Roberson's property.
It's a really weird place there. It's like 20 feet off the dock, it's 60 feet of water.
Yeah.
Kind of a
little. These are just marker buoys that keep people from
getting close to the beach.
Right. So anyway, I'll get with Gabrielle because she hasn't apparently submitted the, she has to get a permit to put these in. And,
So do they have the funding and the buoys and stuff for all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Well, the DNR has the funding.
Yeah, I think there was a couple boats affected by that process, and they both showed up at Matt's Bay now.
Yeah, they actually cleaned out about two dozen
derelicts.
Derelicts.
Or wow.
Potential derelicts.
So is the Lotus down there now?
No. It's over in Lake Union being rented out for evening stays.
Uh-huh.
So, although they've gone aground down there. The other thing was last night, Sue and I gave a briefing to the yacht club over here, their building. I think it went quite well, wouldn't you say so, Sue?
Very well, yeah.
And it was the same briefing we did with the Rotary where we had the questions and baseball hats and books and stuff, and it was well received. We're going to update that. Too many, being a small town, too many people have seen the briefing. I know the answers already. Tomorrow I'll be attending the Washington Boating Alliance over at OFACTO. It'll be at NMTA headquarters. They're going to host the meeting.
Oh, up on North Lake up there?
Yeah. So I will see Peter.
Yeah, and if you could ask him about that boat show stuff, I think we can come up with a pretty quick answer for that.
And we'll be getting, I'm sure, tomorrow at the WBA an update on DOE's efforts to declare the Olympia Sound a no discharge zone for all vessels. And then the last thing, Friday afternoon is Kathy's renewal retirement ceremony. Champagne and cheesecake. So that's it.
Did you say tomorrow afternoon?
I wrote myself Friday.
And
yeah.
I hope she doesn't listen to this. Yeah. She doesn't know about it.
Don't let her listen to it. Don't let her listen to it. That's all I have.
Any public comments?
I just want to mention during my years down at the Port of Portland, we were sued for exactly what you folks are just talking about. And it was quite a process that went through it for about 6 months. And it was their counterpart, Willamette River Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we settled as well, which I was adamantly against. I thought we should have fought it because we were completely in compliance on everything. The one thing that they were claiming we were in violation of the law, and it was just a simple statement on the bottom of the DMR, and it was settlement conference, but it really, we weren't breaking any laws. And it was just a matter of just one sentence from the bottom of the MR. And if we would have been a little more proactive and maybe gotten some more advice before it got to that point, we probably could have avoided it.
Yeah. And that's the only reason why we met Joe Calamar, who's recognized as the industry expert on this. In fact, NMTA's attorney, James Tupper, who offered if anybody gets sued or gets one of these letters, he's...
He's the guy. He's the go-to.
Right. Yeah, he said, tell your attorney, give me a call, and, you know, pro bono, I'll tell him, you know, what to do and all that sort of stuff. But he said that when they, Ms. Smith and Lowney asked for a copy of the SWIP, and Tupper says, well, Joe Calamar wrote it for this boatyard, they don't need to bother looking at it. So money well spent, I think. But this would be more of this. The other thing I did say, there used to be over 100 boatyards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went down to about 85, and now we're down to 70.
Right.
And a lot of it because of pressures like this. Yeah. Small family yard, do I put up with it? So, yep.
So are there substantive requirements for improvements when these lawsuits are settled, or they just want to check?
They just want to check, essentially. The problem is the potential cost if you go to court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the per day fine under the Federal Clean Water Act, but it's like $10,000 a day.
$17,000.
It was something.
Which can be doubled.
Right.
Yeah, so no, it's outrageous. It's definitely, you know, investing years to sell.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they won't come back and sue you in the future. They can't sue you for the same, if they got to start
they
over.
They in the 60-day letter. Exactly.
Right. Yep.
Then on to commissioner comments. Steve?
I went to the BUD celebration yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very good thing. One of the things that I met, though, was the new mill manager, Roger.
Oh, yeah, he was there, yeah.
Hagen was his name? Oh, anyway, it's not. It's a different Roger. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that he's a whole different Roger. As soon as he came in, the court's associated with the Energy Lunch,
mm-hmm.
and the Energy Lunch was looking for sponsors to help, because the people we bring in are a lot of times from out of the area, and they're really high-powered, and so we need some money to do that. And Roger Loney was opposed to sponsoring it, and this new Roger stood right up to the plate instantly. So he's got a lot more open, and, you know, more, in other words, communicative with the public. And I know that as the port, we were talking with them earlier, and I think Dave brought this up, about a marine highway, a barge thing, that those talks fell all apart because of Roger Loney's not wanting to do it. I think that it might be an opportunity to reopen that if we think we want to, and maybe we should have Jim, who I guess was instrumental in trying to figure out what that would entail, maybe relook at that, because I think there's a potential if that would be a good thing to start that up again.
Yeah, the DOT occasionally has a grant available to get just directed at stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the reason it failed before was because of the Roger that was in there. I think the new Roger has a totally different idea on things like that.
I haven't met him yet. I expect he'll, just like the old Roger, our CEO breakfasts each mm-hmm. month. I expect he'll be coming to that, so I can bounce that off him if he's interested. Even if he wants to do it, it's going to be a challenge. Jim and I went down and surveyed the property, and the way the mill was built over the decades along the waterfront, it's like the Great Wall of China getting to the water itself. And they've got security issues, so...
Right.
Allowing third-party vehicles.
Yeah, Homeland Security took a full swing down there.
Yeah. So, but I'll certainly bring it up to him.
Dave?
Yeah, the offer from the director of DOE at the conference, I've talked to the county and PUD, and I just approached the city through Pam Colsey, and everybody seems interested so far, but if it shows enough interest, if the commissioners would agree that we could get Larry to write Miss DOE a letter to say that we're ready to accept your offer, please don't send the SWAT team or, you know. But I mean, we have lots of issues.
Just remember what I yelled across the room when you stood up.
Yes,
sit down. Sit down. She's inviting the new DOE director. Why don't you come up and visit? The vote here.
Don't sit for it.
Well, I mean, she made an interesting offer, and that she would be willing to send a representative up to meet the various entities in the county. And listening to the PUD and the county and us, we all have completely diverse issues with DOE, so it should be.
I'll bring that up at the CEO breakfast too, with Morley and Timmons. And
yeah, Timmons,
Parker,
especially.
Those guys.
I've been hesitant to
talk to him.
Deal with Timmons. Timmons
intimidates you.
He's been decidedly unfriendly towards me.
No.
Which is, you know, I expect that kind of behavior from most people, but not when I'm trying to get an ally in a deal. But and I'd like to push this forward and see if we can't get a conversation going with.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that as a team of governments, we all have something. Don't want to just bring her up here and waste her time, you know,
something. Screaming, yelling,
right.
Whining and stuff.
That's the last thing. You know.
But it sounds like, I mean, with this MTA thing, it sounds like there might be some hope for a collaboration between DOE and the entities.
Yep.
Got it. Well, I hope that discussion on the impending lawsuits for the boatyards round two illustrates the fact that we are on top of our game when it comes to keeping this boatyard open. That is a majority of the emphasis of the commission, and we're quite active in that regard. We understand the impact that it would have if we were to run afoul of the boatyard permit. So we are always talking about that at every single meeting, and planning to meet the contingencies which are presented to us. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, June 26th, and it'll be an evening meeting here, 6:30. And there is no executive session today, so this meeting is adjourned.